Good morning, everybody. So our theme this morning is a nice, easy one. Two Testaments, the same God? Well, the answer is, yes, it is the same God. Thank you very much. So let's have a look through and consider those two readings we've had and how that our God seems to have changed from the old to the new, but let's have a look. So we all know the Bible is split into two parts, not halves, because they're not equal, the Old Testament and the New Testament. When we read our Old Testament, we can see a God who drives people out of their homes, who seems to make snap decisions, and that's it, you didn't follow the rules, boom, you're gone. And then in the New Testament, we meet Jesus, and it seems as if God is two different gods. So we're thinking this morning, how is that this is the same God? So our Old Testament, that's going to start there, our Old Testament reading comes from the beginning of the book of Judges. And it's marking an event that really makes a significant change in Israel's relationship with God. If we go back further to Genesis, God made a covenant with the people of Israel. They were going to be his special people. He was going to be their God. And this sacred covenant was one like no other. God's part was to make Israel a special holy nation. Sandra's talked about holy, setting apart a special nation. His job was going to be to protect them. He would give them unique blessings that nobody else would have. And their part of the bargain, if you like, was they had to love God and do what he told them to do. Obey the rules. Sounds quite easy, doesn't it? So they set off to the promised land, the land that God had set specially for them. But it took them 40 years to get there because actually following God's rules they found pretty difficult. And they kept making mistakes and having to repent, and it took 40 years before God got them there. Once they'd arrived and had been given their different tribes, had been given their different parts of the land, there were still Canaanite people living in the land. It was the land of Canaan. There were still Canaanites living there who were worshipping their Canaanite gods, who were very different from the God of Israel. Their way of life was very different from the way that God wanted the Israelites to live. So at the end of the book of Joshua, this man in the middle is supposed to be Joshua. Joshua had taken over leadership from Moses, and he gathered the Israelite people together. He said, I've given you your lands, and there are still Canaanite people living in them, but you need to stick to God's rules. You need to stick to God. Worship only him. Don't get involved with their false gods. Give yourselves totally to the God of Israel. And a famous verse, Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he sets that as an example to the people of Israel. However, they couldn't do it. The lure of that exciting society where there were parties and anything went and it was all okay and they could just do whatever they liked, really, was just too much of a temptation for the Israelite people. And they got involved, they got drawn in. They didn't tear down the altars as God had told them. Instead, they joined in with all that. So God, as we saw in that passage, is angry now. And he sent an angel of the Lord with a message for them. And he told them very sternly, "You have rejected and disobeyed my laws." He's pulling no punches here. He's really cross. And it feels like he's come to the end of the road. And he says, "That's it. I'm pulling out of my part of the deal. I'm no longer going to protect you in that special way I've been doing. I'm no longer going to make sure that when you have to fight another army, another kingdom, that you're going to win. I'm not giving you that anymore. I'm no longer going to pour those special, unique blessings that were just between me and you because we had a special relationship. That's it." How harsh, how shocking. And of course, the people wailed and repented and offered sacrifices and said, "Oh Lord, we're so sorry. We're so sorry." And God forgives them. But if you've read any more of the Old Testament, you'll know that that's kind of a cycle that goes on. The people say, "Yes, Lord, we'll follow you. We'll be obedient to your rules. We'll do what you want to do." And then they go, "Ooh, that looks exciting." And they forget all about God. And God says, "You've forgotten about me again." And the cycle continues. They repent and da, da, da. So we see this God who's angry, who's punishing the disobedience of his people. We see that God quite a lot in the Old Testament. The only way that the Israelites can remain in his good books is to keep the rules. So now let's jump to the New Testament. And our reading today comes from where Jesus is teaching the people, often called the Sermon on the Mount. And these, as Kevin said, are called the Beatitudes. These are the ways that Jesus is giving to us so we have a blessed, happy, fortunate life, having beautiful attitudes. And Jesus gives us eight things, eight situations in which we can receive God's favour and blessings. And none of them involve fighting other people, none of them involve overthrowing, and none of them involve bloodshed. Or do they? So sometimes the Beatitudes are known as Jesus' manifesto. This is him ushering in the new kingdom. The people at the time, they had this picture of what the Messiah would be. The Messiah was going to come as a conquering hero. He was going to overthrow the Romans. There would probably be battles and they were all ready to fight. But as Jesus taught them on this mountainside, those first hearers would have been shocked. Because what he was telling them about the people, the situations and what they had to do to be blessed was very different from what they would have expected. This was part of his invitation to come and experience living in the new kingdom. He talked about people who were persecuted, people who'd lost and were mourning, people who were poor, people who had nothing, people who were peacemakers, not people who were fighting. And to the people who were listening to him on that mountainside, they were shocked. "What? This is not what we expected. No, no, no. All through the scriptures, we're going to overthrow the people who are oppressing us. That's how God does things." And Jesus was saying, "No, that's not how it's going to be. It's going to be different." Still today, when we have wonderful news and we look at the news that flies around, things to be celebrated are success, money, wealth, victory. Those are the things that we often are told is the really good news. But Jesus' good news is given to the humble, to the mourners, to the peacemakers, the persecuted, those people who are just at the end of their rope. How can that be the same God as the God of the Old Testament? The God who seemed to prioritize overcoming enemies now seems to prioritize peacemakers. How can that be the same God? And the answer, as it so often does, boils down to Jesus. Because Jesus says himself, he fulfills the Old Testament. He's not here to do it the same way, but he's revealing the full depths of meaning and he's bringing about a new way. Because it's his sacrifice that he makes on the cross that brings salvation. His sacrifice stops the need for us to be saved by rules because we are saved by love. The love of a Saviour who willingly went to the cross to satisfy the wrath of God that had been seen in the Old Testament. This Jesus who turned the world upside down with his beatitude way of thinking is the Jesus who invites us this morning to connect with him. He's raising the bar in these beatitudes, not so that we feel insecure and inadequate, because he's saying, come on, come up here, reach higher, come closer to me. Now, we may not live in Canaan like the Israelites did, but 2024 UK life offers us plenty of distractions that get in the way of following God. But what we can be confident of is that God isn't going to withdraw from us. His part of the deal has now been signed, sealed, and delivered by Jesus. And it's because of Jesus and his death on the cross and his resurrection that God will not withdraw from us. He will not come to us and say, that's it, you've blown it. So this morning, let's take this opportunity to reconnect with Jesus. Maybe for some of you, there's been many times where you think, yes, I'm on it, and then life gets in the way, and there needs to be that reconnection again and again. I know that's true for me. Maybe for some of you sitting here, you've actually never done that before, and you've never actually stepped and said, Jesus, I accept the sacrifice that you made, and I want to follow you. Today is a day we can all reconnect with Jesus. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Come to me because I love you. I don't just love the part of you that you show to other people. I love you, the inside of you that you like to hide away. That's the part I love. I'm going to read that passage from Matthew again, but I'm going to read it in the Message version, because sometimes familiarity of words and some just washes over us. And if we hear it in a different way, it makes us sit up and think. So this is Jesus speaking to you and me this morning. You are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You are blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You are blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You are blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He is food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You are blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You are blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You are blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You are blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and that they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do, and all heaven applauds. So this morning, I really encourage you to take some time with Jesus as we have more worship and respond now. The Jesus who overturned people's thinking, who showed us a new way, where we don't have to be scared of God pulling out of his side of the deal, because it was signed and sealed and delivered by the God who hung on the cross and shed his own blood, not ours. Amen.